You step into the garage, and the air shifts. The place holds every mistake you made when you rushed through the last job or dropped something and swore you'd handle it later. Tools buried under clutter. Stacks leaning in ways that could fall if you grieve wrong. You feel the weight of it before you touch anything. A workspace is supposed to work for you, but this one pushes back. You know you can't keep operating like this. Lost time, lost tools, hidden hazards that crack knuckles and drain patience. You pull the door fully open and stand there until you feel the need for control settle. This isn't a quick sweep. This is a rebuild. You will strip it down, set new rules, and force the space into order. Every move from here decides whether this place becomes a shop you can trust, or another corner of your life that slipped out of your hands. Now you start. Chapter 1. Take the room back. You open the door, and the space gives nothing back. It stands quiet and heavy, the way a place feels when it has been ignored for too long. You see the floor first. What should be open ground is a patchwork of dropped tools, old boxes, paint cans, loose parts, and coils of extension cords that twist into each other. The path from the door to the back wall is narrow. You step inside, and the sound of your boots against the concrete tells you how much dust has settled here. You let the silence hold. Then you start. You begin by claiming the floor. Nothing else in this room matters until the floor is clear. You take every loose item in reach and move it outside. You do not sort yet. You only clear ground. The first minutes feel slow because the job has not taken shape, but you keep going. You lift a plastic bin that lost its lid years ago. Inside are rusted screws, two clamps that no longer tighten, and a bent chisel you forgot you owned. You set the whole bin aside and keep moving. The more you clear, the more the hazards show themselves. A pile of scrap lumber hides a bent nail sticking out like a trap. An old bag of concrete split open at some point and turned to dust that pools against the wall. A shelf on the left side sags under the weight of mismatched boxes and looks ready to fail if you bump it. You use your gloves and pull each piece of lumber aside, stacking them flat against the outer wall where they will be sorted later. You treat the space like a site with active risk. You watch your footing. You watch your grip. When the main floor is visible, you clear the edges. You find a cracked plastic jug that once held oil. The bottom is dry but stained. You set it aside for disposal. You find loose fasteners scattered under an old drop cloth. You sweep them into a small pile. You know better than to leave sharp steel on bare concrete. A fallen pry bar sits behind a heavy cardboard box, swollen from moisture. You drag the box outside and see a dark mark on the floor where it sat too long. Moisture got in from somewhere. It is a problem for later, but you log it. Once the floor is open, you call the first break. You step outside and see everything you pulled out. It looks worse now because you exposed it. But this is the point. You must see the full truth of the mess before you can control it. You stand there and study each pile. You keep your hands still. You let your eyes do the work. Now you sort. You set up four ground zones. On your left, you make the keep pile. This is where useful tools and supplies will land. In front of you, you form the toss pile. On your right, the donate pile. Behind you, the relocate pile, for anything that belongs somewhere else in the house. You walk through each item once. You do not pick something up twice. You do not rethink your choices. You apply fast judgment and keep moving. You hold an old hammer with a splintered handle. You test the head. It wiggles. You toss it. You pick up a screwdriver set with half the bits missing. If the missing pieces matter, the set is broken. If the missing pieces do not matter, the set was never worth much. You donate it. You find a cordless drill with a dead battery that charges only when it feels like it. You keep it because you know the tool works. The battery is the problem. You place it in the keep zone and mark it for later. You find a box full of spare parts you saved because you thought they might come in handy one day. You open it and sort it piece by piece until the truth hits. None of it belongs to anything you still own. You toss it all. The sun shifts across the ground, and the job picks up speed. Your decisions get cleaner. You stop making excuses for items that had no place in your life to begin with. The piles grow, and the space around you opens up. You feel your posture change. You're taking the room back. When the sorting ends, you turn your attention to the room itself. The floor looks tired. Dust clings to the edges and settles in lines across the concrete. You sweep from the back wall toward the door. You gather everything into a single mound, scoop it into a bin, and remove what used to hide under your feet. You see the floor differently now. It no longer controls the space. You do. You stand in the middle and study the walls. Each corner tells a different story. The left wall holds the old shelf. It is overloaded and off balance. The right wall has bare studs where hooks once hung. The back wall is clogged with leaning items that never earned a true place. You know that if you rebuild the system without a plan, the space will slip again. You need a layout before you bring anything back inside. You grab a roll of tape and mark zones on the floor. You draw lines for the tool zone, the yard gear zone, the chemical zone, and the seasonal storage zone. You keep the paths clear. You make sure the center stays open, so you can move without tripping. You shape the layout around how you work, not how the space looked before it went bad. The tape turns the floor into a map of your future system. You test the lighting next. You flick the switch and see shadow stretch across the room. The bulb overhead is too weak. You cannot work in a space where shadows hide mistakes. You note the need for stronger lighting. You check the door and windows. Airflow is poor. You make another note. When you rebuild the space, you will add a fan or vents. A functional workspace needs to breathe. Now you build your first rule. You choose a spot near the entry and mark a landing zone for your daily use tools. This is where your hammer, drill, measuring tape, and utility knife will live. You create it now because your system must start with discipline. If you do not respect the landing zone, the rest of the layout will fall apart. You do not pile anything there. You only mark it. The tools will come later when the system is ready. When the room is fully cleared and the zones are marked, you take another long look. You see the space without clutter. You see potential. You see the cost of letting things slide. You also see the first signs of control returning. This chapter ends here, because the work has shifted. You removed the chaos. You exposed the truth. You set the rules. Now the real build begins. You step out of the garage and face the piles waiting outside. The next stage requires more than sorting. It demands structure that can carry weight, survive daily use, and keep your workflow alive. And that is the challenge ahead. Chapter 2. Build the system that can carry the weight. You return to the empty garage, and the air feels different. The space is stripped down to concrete, bare walls, and the tape lines you set hours earlier. Nothing hides. Nothing holds excuses. This is the moment where most people fail, because the room looks clean enough to ignore. You know better. A cleared space without structure is only a pause before the next collapse. Now you build the system that will hold the weight of your work. You start with shelving. You measure the wall where the old unit sagged. The studs sit 16 inches on center. You mark each one with a pencil. Wall strength decides how much load you can trust, not the shelves themselves. You choose a heavy-duty steel rack that can hold real weight. You lift the first section and position it against the wall. You check for level. You secure the frame. You tighten each bolt until you feel resistance settle into the metal. You do not rush this part. A shelf that fails is not an inconvenience. It is a hazard. When the frame stands solid, you lock in the horizontal supports. You install the shelves one by one. You stop and push on the rack with your full weight. It does not move. You have a spine for your layout now. This will hold the bends and gear that once buried your four. Next, you set up your wall tool system. You choose pegboard or rail track, depending on the tools you use most. If you swing hammers, run wrenches, and carry a drill daily, you need a board that puts these tools in reach without stacking. You mount the board on the studs. You anchor each corner. You test the flex. The board should not bow. It should not shift when you press against it. You add the first hooks only after you are sure the mount can handle your handwork. You place the hammer hook at shoulder height. You set the drill dock under it. You keep the tape measure to the right. You arrange these items based on motion, not looks. You think about how you grab tools when you are tired or rushed. You build for those moments, not the perfect ones. This is the tool wall you will trust when the job runs long and your patience runs short. Now, you establish your bin system. You bring out the empty containers you kept from the sorting stage. You choose one size for your main categories, so everything stacks clean and secure on the shelving unit. You keep clear bins if you need fast visibility. You use solid bins for chemicals or anything that needs darkness or protection. You choose lids that lock and do not work. A bin without a lid is a box waiting to spill. You create your categories. Yard gear, car supplies, paint tools, electrical odds, plumbing odds, shop towels, safety gear. You mark each bin with a clean label on the front. You do not write cute names. You write clear names. You place each bin on the shelves with intention. Heavy bins go low. Light bins go high. Bins you reach for weekly sit at chest level. Bins you barely touch go up top. You build your workflow into the height and placement. Now you deal with hardware, the small things, the pieces that always slip through the cracks and cost you time when they vanish. This is the part that decides whether your shop stays efficient or slips back into chaos. You set up a hardware station on the left side of the shelving unit. You use small trays, sealed containers, or a drawer set. You sort the fasteners you saved from the clearing stage. Screws by size, nails by type, washers, nuts, anchors. You seal each container. You label each one. You give these small parts a home so they cannot scatter again. You step back and study the wall above the hardware station. It is the right place for a magnetic strip. You mount it horizontal and straight. You test its pull with a wrench, strong. You line up your drivers, pliers, and small tools that you use once a week. The magnetic strip keeps them visible and controlled. You do not overload it. You treat it like a quick grab zone. Next, you expand your vertical storage. Long items live best off the ground. You install hooks for ladders. You mount a rack for hoses, extension cords, and air lines. You hang a rail strong enough to carry lumber or PVC pipes. You test each mount with weight before trusting it. You make sure nothing swings into the walkway. You keep each long item flat against the wall. You eliminate the leaning stacks that once threatened to fall. You check the ceiling next. If you have open rafters or space overhead, you can mount a ceiling hook system for seasonal bins. These are the items you only need once or twice a year. You slide the first bin onto the rails. You check the latch. You are not building for convenience alone. You are building for safety. Ceiling mounts must lock. They must support more load than you expect. Now, you bring the items from the keep pile inside. You do not grab them all at once. You walk through them, one by one. Each item must earn its place. A system fails when you start bending rules. You place the yard tools in their zone. You hang the rake and shovel on the rawl hooks. You coil the hose on its rack. You put the car supplies in their labeled bin on the second shelf. You place the drill on its dock. You follow the map you created on the floor, and the room starts to take shape. You do not allow any item to sit in the walkway. You do not shove anything into a corner. You respect the system you are building because you know the cost of ignoring it. Every decision you make now decides whether this space becomes a reliable shop or a future burden. You place the chemicals next. You put them on a low, stable shelf near the door for fast ventilation if something spills. You line up the paint cans, the oil bottles, the cleaners. You check each one for leaks or weak seals. You dispose of anything unstable. You keep only what you use. Excess is not preparation. Excess is clutter. You know the seasonal bins last. You lift them onto the upper shelves or the ceiling rails. You make sure each bin is balanced. You push lightly to confirm the shelf holds. It does. The structure you built is earning its place. When the layout is complete, you walk the womb from end to end. You check the walkway. You check the reach of your tools. You check the flow between zones. You look for anything that feels off. A system must serve your motion. If something slows you down, you adjust it now, before the habit settles. You shift one bin, you move one hook, you tighten one bolt on the rack. You refine until the space moves with you. The room has weight and order now. You feel it. The racks stand firm. The wall tools hang clean. The floors open. There is no clutter waiting to spill. Every object has a home. Every motion has a path. But the system is not tested yet. A workspace only proves itself when you work inside it week after week. That test comes next. A system survives when you maintain it, not when you build it once. You stand at the center of the room and look around. This is no longer a hollow space. This is your shop. But you know the truth. Order without discipline dissolves. You will either hold the line or watch the chaos return. Number 1, Chapter 3. Hold the line or lose the room. You step into the garage a week later, and the air tells you the truth. The system you built has settled. The shells hold strong. The tool wall stands balanced. The bins sit in clean lines. But a workspace is not proven by the first week. Anyone can maintain order when the memory of the cleanup is fresh. The real test comes when routine pulls at you and the quiet quarters start to loosen. Today is the start of that test. You begin the monthly reset. This is the backbone of the entire system. Without it, everything you built will slip. You take a broom and sweep from the back wall toward the door. You make the floor honest. Dust gathers in a straight line. You collect it. You wipe the shelves with a dry rag. You move through the room with slow, deliberate passes. You do not rush. A reset is not a chore. It is a check on your discipline. Once the floor is clean, you begin your quick inventory. You look at each bin and confirm the contents make sense. You open the yard gear bin and see the shears, the gloves, the small rake, all present. You close the lid. You pull the car supplies bin and see the fluids, the rags, the spare bulbs. Everything sits where it should. You push the bin back in place and feel the small satisfaction of control holding steady. Next, you rotate seasonal gear. Winter gear moves to deep storage. Summer gear comes down. You do not leave anything mixed. You do not wait for the next cold day or the next hot week. You handle it now because seasonal rotation is one of the main pressure points in any workspace. If you skip it once, you will skip it again. You move the bins with intention. You confirm each latch is secure. You check the weight balance on the shelves. You keep the layout tight. You take a few steps back and study the tool wall. Every hook holds what it should. The hammer sits in its place. The drivers hang in a clean row. The drill dock looks untouched. But you do not trust the surface. You lift each tool and check the hook for looseness. You tighten one screw on the far left rail. You push the pegboard lightly. Solid. A tool wall fails when the mounts weaken. You do not allow weakness. Now, you inspect the racks. You run your hand along each bolt and feel for movement. You find one bolt on the lower frame that takes a quarter turn before it settles. This is why inspections matter. Metal shifts under load. Temperature changes everything. You tighten each bolt until they hold with clean resistance. The rack stands firm again. You move on. You look for moisture next. The corner where the swollen cardboard once sat is dry now, but you do not take it at face value. You kneel and check the concrete. You look for hairline cracks. You study the wall for discoloration. Nothing fresh shows. It's still. You note the spot. Moisture is slow and patient. You must be faster. Then you scan for rust. You inspect the shovel blade. Clean. You check the ladder hinges. They show a faint orange line. You wipe it with a dry rag. It lightens but does not disappear. You treat it with a small amount of rust inhibitor and open the hinges twice to spread it. You leave the ladder hanging clean and safe. Rust is a quiet threat. If you ignore it, it will eat through your tools, one hinge at a time. You check for mold and rodent signs. Mold hides where airflow is weak. Rodents leave droppings behind boxes and under shelves. You find nothing. That is the result of keeping the floor clear and the bins sealed. You make a note to keep airflow steady during humid months. A workspace that breathes stays clean. Now you enforce the rule that protects the system from collapse. One in, 1. Evaluated. This is where most shops fall apart. New items arrive and get dropped in the nearest empty space. You refuse that habit. You bring in a new pack of shop rags. Before you place them, you open the shop towels bin and evaluate what you have. Enough room? You add the new pack cleanly. The wool holds. You grab a small tool someone gave you last week. It has no obvious place in the system. You hold it in your hand and ask one question. Does this tool earn space here? If the answer is no, you donate it. You place it in the donate bin you keep near the entry. A system built on discipline does not make room for tools you will never use. Now you protect the walk paths. You take slow steps through the center of the room. The path is clean. You check the side lanes. You find one long piece of PVC leaning in the wrong place. You pick it up and hang it on the rack where it belongs. This is how disorder starts. One item out of place becomes two. Two becomes a pile. A pile becomes the floor you cleared in chapter one. You walk the perimeter again. You check the debris bin. It holds scraps, torn sandpaper, and small trash from the last project. You empty it. A debris bin only works when it never overflows. Overflow becomes a corner hazard. You keep it clean. You test your lighting next. You replace the weak bulb last week. You flip the switch, and the room brightens with a clean, strong glow. Shadows fall where they should, not across your workbench. You scan the corners. No dark spots. This matters because poor lighting invites mistakes. Mistakes turn into hazards. Light is one of the simplest safety investments you can make, and it pays every time you work. Now you test airflow. You open the door and feel the pull of air through the space. You switch on the small fan you added near the back wall. It moves the air in a clean line. Airflow keeps moisture from settling and tools from corroding. Airflow keeps your lungs safe during sanding or sweeping. You let it run while you continue your check. You kneel and inspect the pegboard screws once more. They hold tight. You look over the magnetic strip. No tools slipped. You check the drill dock for cracks. Solid. You tap the shells with your knuckles. The sound stays consistent. Nothing rattles. Nothing shifts. Now, the deeper work begins. You run a hand along every surface and note what belongs and what does not. You find a random bolt sitting near the hardware station. It is clean, unused, and out of place. You bring it to the hardware trays and place it in the correct size group. This is not about the bolt. This is about the habit. A single stray piece of hardware becomes a trigger for clutter. You shut it down. You stop in front of the tool wall and take a long look. You ask yourself if anything here slows you down when you work. You shift one wrench to a Warwork. You move the utility knife to the right side, where your dominant hand reaches more naturally. These are small adjustments, but small adjustments build speed. Speed builds confidence. Confidence builds discipline. The system improves because you refine it, not because it was perfect when built. You finish the reset with one final action. You stand at the door and look across the garage. From edge to edge. The shelves stand clean. The bins line up tight. The tools hang straight. The racks hold. The floor is open. The air moves. There is no clutter pressing at the edges. No items leaning for attention. No loose parts waiting to trip you. The room belongs to you now because you worked it. Not because you cleaned it once. But the truth remains. Order is not a final state. It is a fight you take on every time you step through this door. You either respect the system, or you watch it decay. You either return tools to their place, or you let them roam until the floor disappears again. You either hold the line, or lose the room. You grip the door handle, and close the space behind you. The system will hold as long as you do. And that is the cost of keeping control.